In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Louis de Montfort,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
To welcome you to our second session of the program of consecration to Jesus through Mary, through the Mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows of Mary. As we said last week, our program can be compared to a tripod, which means there are three parts to this program. There would be the presentation or the conference that I give. Second would be our sharing group, and third would be the most important, is your time that you spend with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So before getting into the topic of this week, which is going to be the Luminous Mysteries, I'd like to speak briefly about what does the sharing consist of. So after the talk, you'll be breaking up into groups of about 12 to 15. You'll have a facilitator, and each one of you will be given a couple of minutes, which you can share with the facilitator as well as the group, what were the fruits of one of your meditations. That means you'll go through the joyful mysteries and see which one of those meditations really seemed to captivate you most. Which really seemed to touch you most. Which one did it seem as if the Blessed Mother was very, very close to you? Which one did you experience, as Ignatius would say, consolation? Because when there's consolation, that's an indication of the presence of God working in our hearts. So that will be what will happen immediately after the presentation we give this evening. Okay, now before getting into the Luminous Mysteries, it's important that we talk about your prayer period, or your prayer time, which is the very heart of this program, is the time that you spend with Mary every day. And when I say Mary, I also say Jesus, because there's no separation between Jesus and Mary. That's the very heart, the very center, the very heart of this program is your spending time with the Blessed Mother every day. So right now you're on retreat. You're on retreat up until February 2nd. February 2nd will be the day of your consecration, which is the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple. So you're on retreat. That being the case, in addition to your meditation, I would like to suggest other practices that you can undertake. If possible, see if you can go to daily Mass. If possible. Obviously also, given that this course is based on falling in love with Mary, and we fall in love with Christ, through the mysteries of the Rosary, you're going to be praying the Rosary in addition to your meditation. You're going to be spending an hour of time meditating upon the mystery of the day, but also every day try to pray the Rosary. And if you can pray more than Rosary, so much the better. Also, you want to try to maintain a certain attitude of recollection. Recollection means silence, in which we want to be open to God's inspirations, Mary's prayers during the course of the day. Also, if you can do some other type of spiritual reading during the course of the day. And if you can do some type of reading on the Blessed Mother, my suggestion would be to read the Glories of Mary of St. Alfonso Liguori. To read that in addition, not to supplant your meditation, but to supplement it. And sometimes it happens that we find our prayer life is not advancing because we are not at peace with God. So during this Marian retreat, you might all try to make a good confession to purify the eyes of your soul, so you'll be able to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary with greater splendor. So I'm trying to do is trying to create within you a whole environment in which you're living a life, a month of retreat up until February 2nd. You're in retreat. You're in the upper room with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, now, on prayer. Some tips on prayer. You want to form a habit. Okay, a good habit is called a virtue. A bad habit is called a vice. You want to form a habit of prayer. So, where are you going to pray? When are you going to pray? How are you going to pray? Where? You want to find a place where there's going to be silence. If you do not have silence, you're not going to pray well. The ideal place would be to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence. If you want, we open up our church at 4:45 every morning. You're welcome to come at 4:45 in the morning. And right after that, at 6 o'clock, we've got the Mass. So you're killing two birds with one stone, okay? You're making your holy hour with Mary, and then you culminate with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Not a bad idea. For the valiant, for the courageous of heart. Then we mention, pray well. It's important that we have a method. You'd be surprised how many methods we have in our life. If you learn how to speak a language, there are certain grammatical steps that you have to utilize to speak the language well. If you learn how to hit a baseball, there's a certain method that you learn how to hit a fastball as well as a curveball. If you learn how to cook, you don't want to put arsenic in your food, but rather salt, right? So there are prayer methods. And I could give you the Ignatian method that you could utilize. It's called the Three Powers of the Soul. But last week, I gave you the method which Pope Benedict XVI proposed in his encyclical Verbum Domini. That was what is called Lectio Divina. And I gave you, if your memory goes back 7 days ago, five different words in Latin. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio, and I added a baker's dozen, which would be transformatio. Remember what those were? Lectio is you read. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Meditatio, in imitation of Mary, who pondered the word of God in her heart. We read that two times in Luke 1, with the coming of the shepherds, and when Jesus is lost for 3 days. Mary, for her part, pondered the word of God in her heart. If you go to the Greek, it would be ruminate. Ruminate is what a cow does. The cow, he chews, he masticates the cud. He chews it slowly, in which he's masticating, he's pulverizing the cud. So Mary, what did she do? She pondered these events in the life of her son. She thought about it. She reflected upon it. She pondered it. She ruminated on. Mary is our model. Well, that means you may have to read the passage twice, or maybe have to read it three times. Then you might have to read my commentary once or twice or three times. If we're beginners in prayer, or some of us are proficient, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the fourth part in prayer, compares prayer to Jacob wrestling with the angel the whole night. Catechism says that prayer is like a wrestling match, in which we have to struggle against our basic enemies. We've got to struggle against the devil. Now the devil is going to try to convince a lot of you to give up. To be, as we say in New York, to be a quitter, okay? The devil is going to tempt you to give up. Because prayer, my friends, prayer sometimes can be hard work, okay? Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it demands a lot of discipline and a lot of determination to be able to be faithful day after day with our in our encounter with the Blessed Mother. But the key, as Teresa of Avila says, we have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. Spanish, una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. A determined determination. Then, contemplatio. Contemplatio is you Ignatius would call it composition of place. You try to imagine that you're present there in the scene. You're present there in the Annunciation when the Archangel is talking to Mary. You're present there in the Visitation when Mary is greeting Elizabeth. You're present there when the baby Jesus is born and placed in the swaddling clothes and placed on the hay. You're present there when the baby Jesus is offered to Simeon and Anna. You're present there when Jesus is lost and Mary is looking for her son who she's lost for 3 days. You're present in the scene. This is called contemplation. You become part of the mystery. And by becoming part of the mystery, you're becoming part of the life of Mary. Mary becomes real to you. She's not simply a mythical figure that lived 2,000 years ago, but she's alive today. She's alive in your life. She wants you to share her life, and she wants to share your life with you. That's called contemplation. And contemplation leads to what is called oratio. What does oratio mean? It means prayer. So not only are you present there with Mary in the stable of Bethlehem, but you talk to her. You talk to her from your heart. Blessed Cardinal Newman, who was beatified by a couple of years ago, says that prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation with God. That's the definition of Cardinal Newman. A heart-to-heart colloquy. Talk to Mary. Talk to her. Use your own words. Be simple like a child. Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That childlike simplicity should be part of your prayer life. A heart-to-heart conversation. Now in this dynamic, how much time are you going to spend in lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio? That depends upon you and the Holy Spirit. Last night, the Spanish youth group had a holy hour. I exposed the Blessed Sacrament. I sat right here, and I spent the whole hour just talking to Jesus in my own words. I didn't want to read anything. I just wanted to have a heart-to-heart conversation, because I had a lot to talk to him about, a lot. And the hour went by like that. I didn't look at any book. It was just a long conversation. He was on the altar, I was sitting here, and I was just unloading the whole time. It was a great holy hour. It was a great holy hour. It was very affective. It was very childlike. It was very simple. I got up with a lot of peace. I really felt my friendship with Christ had really gone deep in that hour that I had with him. Of course, I never make a holy hour without inviting Mary to be with me. So you may spend the whole hour just talking to Mary in your own words. Maybe there's one idea, one scene that seems to captivate you. Stay with that. Teresa of Avila says, you learn how to pray by praying. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You learn how to pray by praying. So the only way you're going to learn to enter into this intimate friendship with Mary is you have to spend time with her. Teresa of Avila says that prayer is nothing more than spending a long time alone in silence with a friend that I know loves me. That's the definition of Saint Teresa of Avila. I repeat, Saint Teresa of Avila, who's a doctor of the church, says that prayer is nothing more than spending a long time in silence with a friend that I know loves me. Beautiful definition. That's what you're aiming at. Spending a long time in silence with Mary, your mother, who you know loves you. That's what you're aiming at. Then the last step would be axio, which is action. You want to put into practice what you've been meditating upon. So that means you have to be, it's a definition of an oblate priest, a contemplative in action. Amen? A contemplative in action. That's a definition of an oblate. We're contemplatives, but also we bring our contemplative life into our active apostolate. That's our charism. Hopefully it's yours also. Now, if you want a beautiful example of going from contemplation to action, what you meditated upon this week, your first two meditations. The Annunciation, you have Mary as contemplative. Mary listening. Mary in prayer. Mary absorbed in union with God. That's the Annunciation. But what about the Visitation? The Visitation is Mary, after she says yes to the angel, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." That's called a fiat. What does Mary do? She goes in haste. She doesn't drag her feet. She doesn't procrastinate. She doesn't say mañana. Okay? She doesn't delay, but the Holy Spirit moves her to go in haste, to bring Jesus to her cousin. So your prayer experience should influence the way you live. Your lives should be gradually be transformed into what St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but rather it is Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Jesus and Mary who live in me. And that's the last part of our acronym of the Lectio Divina. Transformatio. That your prayer life, your union with Mary, should have an effect such that it is changing your lives, helping you to imitate more and more the person of Jesus and Mary. Amen? Is that clear? Okay, the last part of this dynamic of Lectio Divina, and it's related to one of the three parts of our tripod. He said, after you finish your prayer period, you pull out your notebook and you write down what was the message that the Blessed Virgin Mary gave you in that meditation. This is very Ignatian. It's called the revision. You write down in your notebook what was the primary idea that seemed to captivate you. What seemed to really touch you in your mind, in your heart, or both your mind and your heart? Consolation works on the intellect as well as on the will. Consolation could be an illumination, which the Holy Spirit enlightens you with an idea, and then from that fills you with peace. Okay, so that was the first, you finished the first stage of our program of consecration to Jesus through Mary, in which you contemplated the Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of Jesus, the child Jesus presented in the temple, and the child Jesus lost and found the temple. So that there's no confusion, okay, obviously there's 7 days in the week and not five, right? So the other 2 days, we mentioned at the end of the talk, are 2 days in which you're going to go back and do a repetition of two of the meditations in the Joyful Mysteries. Once again, this is very Ignatian. But I'll give you an idea from St. Francis de Sales. Have any of you ever observed nature of a bee who goes into a flower and spends some time in the flower? What is the bee doing? Okay, pollen, but also be gathering nectar. Yeah. Nectar? Okay, did you ever know, if you've ever noticed, you may be watching for 10 minutes, the bee will go to the flower, go to another flower, but then return to the first flower. Why? Hello? Because in the first flower there's still nectar to be taken. This is an analogy of St. Francis de Sales 400 years ago, but still applicable. There's still nectar. So why do you go back and do a repetition of a meditation you already did? There's still spiritual nectar present in that meditation. Got it? And when you go back to it the second time, the Holy Spirit can give you an insight you never had the first time. Almost as if you're meditating upon that as if it were the first time in your life. The Holy Spirit is very, very innovative. He's very creative. And also, when you go from Monday to Saturday, you know you're not the same person. We change. So the Holy Spirit blows where He wills, as we read in John chapter 3. So don't feel that you're going back and doing a meditation repetition, you're wasting your time. Rather, you're going deeper. You're going deeper into the presence of Mary, in the heart of Mary. So it was very appropriate last week that we did the Joyful Mysteries because we were in the Christmas season. So there was a really good synchronization between your meditation on the Joyful Mysteries and the church liturgical year. Now it's almost perfect timing because if some of you go to daily Mass, what feast did we celebrate yesterday? It was the baptism of Jesus, right? Guess what mysteries you're going to be meditating this week? Ah, see how we've synchronized this? The Holy Spirit has, rather, okay? So this week, your meditations are going to be the luminous mysteries. And they're taken from this document of Pope John Paul II, which I invite all of you to read as supplementary material. It's the Rosarium Virginis Mariae, if you speak Latin, okay? Or on the Most Holy Rosary. This is written by Saint Pope John Paul II, published the year 2002. The 16th of October was the beginning of his 25th year as Pope. Interesting, huh? So the beginning of his 25th year as Pope, October 16th is exactly when it was promulgated, no? Nothing happens by chance, huh? Now in this document, the Holy Father introduced five new mysteries. These are called the luminous mysteries, or the mysteries of light. For many years, being a lover of the Rosary for more than a half a century, I often felt that there seemed to be a missing link. What I mean by missing link is that you were contemplating the going from the crib or cave to the cross. But what about the rest of the life of Christ? Because if you read the Gospel, 75% of the Gospel is what? It's the public life of Christ. I say 75% of the Gospel is the public life of Christ. So we're going from little baby Jesus to Jesus at 33 years of age, but what about that interim, that interperiod? So John Paul II, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was able to write and publish this document, which would be the Luminous Mysteries. So before going through one or two of these Luminous Mysteries, then we'll break up into our groups, I'd like to mention to you the Marian saints that this Pope mentions. And I'd like to speak maybe about 3 or 4 minutes on one of them who, if you did not read this, I really doubt you've heard this person's name. He mentions, obviously, St. Louis de Montfort. He mentions St. Maximilian Kolbe. He mentions St. Therese. He mentions Padre Pio. Padre Pio, you've heard of him, who had great, great love for the Rosary. He would always be praying the Rosary and promoting among his spiritual children to pray the Rosary. I think all of you have heard those names. But did you ever hear of a guy named Bartolo Longo? I doubt it. Well, if you've been to my talks, then you've probably heard me talk about him before. But Bartolo Longo, that's Italian for Big Bart, okay? Bart the big guy, huh? And I'd like to just mention him related to our topic because I think it's fascinating who this person was, what he went through, and what happened at the moment of his conversion. Bartolo Longo was an Italian, brought up and raised in Naples by pretty good parents. Then he went to the university to study law. Okay? And when he was there, he moved away from the faith. And he fell into a satanic group. And he became more and more involved in the practice of Satanism. And he became so involved that he consecrated himself to Satan. Like you're consecrating yourself to the Blessed Mother. He consecrated himself to Satan. And he even became a satanic priest. Did you know that there are satanic priests? I'm a Catholic priest. So the satanic priest does the exact opposite of what the Catholic priest does. And one of the purposes is to desecrate the Eucharist. They want to get a Eucharist and they want to desecrate the Eucharist in a satanic ritual. Okay? So he was... He sunk into almost into hell. Hell on earth anyway. Something happened. He had a friend at the university who was a Dominican priest. And maybe you know that the Dominicans, the charism of the Jesuits is to promote devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Whereas the charism of the Dominicans, any of you have Dominican sisters or Dominican priests? They're always wearing the rosary. So the charism of the Dominicans is to promote the rosary. So this Dominican priest prayed and fasted because some devils can be kicked out only by prayer and fasting. And he received the inspiration to go to confession. So he went to confession and he came out and the devil tried to throttle him. You belong to me. Because he consecrated himself to the devil in a formal way. But then he had what we say in Ignatian spirituality, the two standards. The standard of Satan and the standard of Mary, or the standard of Christ. Satan basically said, you belong to me. You're my property. But he heard a very gentle but insistent voice that said, if you want to be saved, pray the rosary. If you want to be saved, love the rosary. If you want to be saved, propagate the rosary. So there's this battle within him. The devil was going after him, and then the Blessed Mother was going after him. Guess who won the battle? Blessed Mother won the battle. He renounced Satan, got the rosary, and he started to pray the rosary. and pray the rosary, and pray the rosary, and pray the rosary. Then he started to propagate the rosary. He tried to get as many people to pray the rosary as possible. Then he talked with the bishop, seeing if they could establish a church in honor of the rosary. And to make a long story short, there was constructed the most famous rosary church in the world, and it's called, ever been to Naples? Our Lady of Pompeii, which is the most famous Marian rosary church in the whole world, which John Paul II visited several times, Pope Benedict XVI visited, and Pope Francis visited. Why? Because JP2, Benedict, and Pope Francis recognized that we're living, my friends, in a very difficult time. We've never, in the history of the world, lived in more difficult times as in the times we're living right now. So now more than ever, we really have to run to Mary. We have to run to Mary. We have to seek refuge in Mary. We have to seek refuge under the mantle of Mary. We have to seek refuge in the heart of Mary. And it's through Mary that we're going to be brought to the heart of Christ. And Christ will bring us to God the Father. So that's an essential part of this document on the rosary, is the battle between the bad spirit and the good spirit. The battle that Bartolo Longo had. And by the way, Bartolo Longo is Blessed Bartolo Longo. That means that he's a saint. So through the intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary, a satanic priest was transformed into a Catholic saint. What do you think about that? So if we can give ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary, Mary can work marvels in our lives. Mary can move the mountains. Mary can raise the dead. And St. Louis de Montfort says the devil has more fear of Mary than of Jesus. This is St. Louis de Montfort. Not that Mary is more powerful than Jesus, but rather, Jesus has chosen Mary. Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, her offspring and yours, and she will what? Crush his head. St. Louis de Montfort says that we are called to be the heel of Mary. You're called to be the heel of Mary. Conquer the enemy through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I could tell you story upon story of these victories of Mary over the enemy. About 2 years ago, the ISIS in Nigeria, I don't know if I pronounce it well, Boko Haram, is that the way it's pronounced? Boko Haram was ravishing many of the churches in Nigeria, abducting girls, killing the innocent, setting the Catholic churches on fire. In other words, really wreaking havoc in a country where Catholicism is really growing. We have a house in Nigeria as oblates, no? Barely ever have we had such an explosion of vocations among oblates as we have in Nigeria right now. Every year we have 1,000 applicants in Nigeria to become priests. We can only receive 6. 1,000 applicants. If all of you could write out a $100,000 check and give it to me, I'll take it to my provincial. He'll send it to Africa, okay? We don't have money. Teresa of Avila says, with God and money, we can do a lot of good things. God and money. But getting back to the story. There was a bishop in Africa, I don't remember his name, Nigeria, who was very worried about his people. So one day he was making his holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and Jesus appeared to him, dressed in white. But Jesus was turned into a soldier. In Jesus' hand there was a sword. And this bishop was looking at this sword. Jesus had a sword. And all of a sudden the sword was turned into a rosary. Could you interpret that? You're good at interpreting symbols, aren't you? The obvious interpretation is if we're going to be able to win the battle, we have to turn to Mary. And we have to pray. What do we have to pray? We have to pray the rosary. We're confronting so many enemies today. Do you remember David and Goliath? Yes. Who was bigger, Goliath or David? Goliath. What did Goliath have? Little penknife? Huge sword, a crescent sword. Huh? Who was bigger, Goliath or David? What did David have? See it? What's this? David had a slingshot, didn't he? Huh? What did David do? He took one stone, aimed, and he shot it. And it was riveted in the head of Goliath. He cascaded to the ground. David took the sword of Goliath, dispatched it, and chopped his head off. You like that? I certainly do. Are there any Goliaths out there today? None, huh? Drinking? Drugs? Pornography? Gang activity? Materialism? Hedonism? Agnosticism? Atheism? Moral relativism? Do you want any more? This is the modern Goliath. We're surrounded by so many modern Goliaths. So we have to have recourse to Mary. In Guadalajara, Mexico, they call her La Generala del Ejército. ¿Habla español? La Generala del Ejército. La Virgen de Zapopan. She's the general of the army. So if we want to conquer the enemy, we have to use a very powerful means, and it's Mary. One other story. The most famous convert in our country teaches at Franciscan. His name is Scott Hahn. Scott Hahn, very prolific writer, an enormous library in his house. He says that when he was a Protestant, he would go to bookstores to look at books, buy books. But when he went there, there was this magnetic pull to go in the corner to look at the bad magazines. He couldn't resist. Well, and he was still a Protestant. He got the rosary. And he prayed the rosary once. And after he finished praying that rosary, he no longer had any desire to go and look at those bad magazines. He wasn't even a Catholic. Protestant praying the rosary, Mary gave him the grace to give up that disordered attachment, that sinful attachment. So we introduce you into the luminous mysteries. Wonderful mysteries. They are the baptism of Jesus, the wedding feast of Cana, the proclamation of the kingdom, the call to conversion, the transfiguration, and the institution of the Holy Eucharist. I'd like to give you one contemplative scene, and then we'll be able to break up into our groups. Let's jump to the wedding feast of Cana. Okay, try to imagine the scene. It's a wedding banquet. It's a very joyful, festive environment. There's a lot of people that are coming and going. This couple, they've invited Mary. They've invited Jesus. And the apostles are also there. So as you enter in, there's a table there in the corner with two people sitting side by side. It's kind of an inconspicuous little corner, maybe on the side. And you enter in and you notice those two people, they're looking very intently at you. And they're beckoning you with their eyes to come closer. And you do. Now they're sitting side by side and there's a table. But in front of that table is a chair. Would you like to sit down in that chair? Yes or no?
Yes.
So this majestic woman beckons to you to sit down in that chair. And who are those? That's Jesus and Mary. Mary looks at you with love, with tenderness, with concern. And she says, tell me everything about yourself. What's your name? Where are you from? Who are your relatives? Who are your children? What's your work? What's going on in your life? And then, after you have opened up and you've been talking to Mary for a long time, and the whole time Mary and Jesus are looking at you with great love. With great love. You are very important to Jesus and Mary. For them, you're the only person in the universe in that conversation. You're the only one in the world. That's how important you are. Then Mary, gazing into your eyes, which penetrates to the very depths of your heart, She says, I notice that you have a thorn in your heart. I notice that you have a cross. I notice that you have a suffering. I notice that there's something heavy weighing upon your heart. Open up and talk to me about that. Tell me about that. Mary says, Jesus loves you, I love you, but I notice that you're wounded. You have wounds. And you have wounds that you've never opened up to anyone. I want you to open up to me. Tell me the hidden wounds in the very depths of your heart. Because my son is the wounded healer. I am the health of the sick. I am the refuge of sinners. I am Our Lady of Consolation. I know you better than you know yourself. And my son knows you better than you even know yourself. Open up and talk to Mary. I honestly believe that if this Marian contemplation can be done well, this is the second luminous mystery, Mary is going to turn your water into wine. A lot of these hidden wounds, sufferings that you've been carrying the past 50 years of your life, maybe more, Mary can touch you and heal you. So you can be an infinite source of healing to wherever God sends you. So the essence of this is Jesus and Mary are very interested in you. What has happened in your life, what has happened in your heart, what's going on right now, what's going to go on in the future, Mary is very, very interested in that. Mary wants to be very real to you. We've got mothers here. And mothers, you love your children. Mary's your mother. If you love your children, Mary loves you a million times more and always. So hope and pray that this week is going to be the best week in your life. Because you're going to enter into a deep, profound, intimate dialogue with the heart of Jesus and Mary. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To Thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, weeping this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy towards us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. The Lord be with you. In the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, may God give you peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.